Welcome back. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR continues with head coach Sean McDermott joining us now via the West Her hotline. Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. What did yesterday feel like? Was it a relief, ecstasy? How did yesterday feel?
It felt great. Great to watch our players get the results of their hard work and great to see our fan base in the Jet Stadium there and give them something to cheer about. So it was great to also see our young players step in and step up and make some big plays for us.
I imagine that's very different for players and for coaches than it is for fans who, it's people that aren't involved watching the game. Media would fall into that too, Sean, to sort of, just settle for, the offense is struggling. This is probably going to be tough. As you approach a game and the offense has had such a tough time, how, if any, effect does the struggles of the offense have on your preparation? Does it creep in? Like, do you find yourself surprised that you were so effective on offense yesterday in any way is really what I'm trying to ask.
No, it felt good, number one, to get that type of offensive performance. I think it shows when we get that what type of team we can be. And it was great to see a lot of the plays being made, in particular by some of the young players that are first and second year players. You always have to game plan in a way that obviously is realistic with where you are. And so we try and do that every week. But I was extremely proud of the way the guys prepared and their focus and energy yesterday.
Sean, how and when did you decide on Matt Barkley last week?
I was late in the week just because of Josh's situation as we were going through it. We tried to stay on top of it, but it presented some challenges just because of some unknowns as we went through the week. But I thought we did the best job we could in managing the situation.
Was there an element last week of you thinking there would be a competitive advantage in not naming him? I would say that while sometimes when coaches do that in sports, I can sort of think, really, was it worth it? But it might have helped you here. Like, it wasn't until Friday when LeSean McCoy made a comment that I even considered myself that Barkley could start.
Yeah, there's – at the end of the day, I'm always going to try and do – I think it benefits the team when you put your team first. I know there seems to be, if you smokescreen things and the other team may not know. But I think it's important that there's clarity around – in this case, our team, and I thought we did the best job we could in managing a situation that unfolded late in the week there.
How close did Josh Allen get to actually playing, Sean?
I would say he was close. As he went through the week, it just the signs started to present themselves that there was a chance he may not be able to go. And I was proud of the way the staff communicated and our medical staff communicated with Josh and Josh with us. And I thought we did a good job in terms of making the right decision both for Josh and our football team.
Was the decision due in part to any sort of fatigue being present after him not throwing for as long and then having somewhat of a workload as the week ramped up? I'm sloppily asking if there was any kind of a setback.
No setbacks, but just the natural progression of a player, an athlete trying to come back from an injury, that it just didn't appear it'd be the right move last week, and so we knew we had the bye to work with, and now he'll get the better part of another 2 weeks basically before he takes the field for a game.
Will he be around? I know you said, I think you said today, guys get time off for the rest of the week. Would that be true of Allen as well, or what do you want from him between now and next week?
Yeah, we've got a number of players that'll be on that'll continue with their rehab schedules set forth by our training department and Nate Bresky, our head trainer. So Josh will be one of those players, and so he'll be around to continue with his rehabilitation.
Okay, so today you say he will start if he's healthy. How difficult a decision might that have been for you? We've been talking to callers yesterday and then today since the game, and Barkley did a good job. And I think it's kind of an interesting decision to make with the value of Allen by playing, the development point. and also Barkley doing what he did yesterday. Did you have a tough time figuring out the move here or no?
Well, I was around a situation in Philadelphia years ago when we had some of our quarterbacks hurt, and A.J. Feely, I don't know if you remember the name or not, came in and won a handful of games for us. And but then when the starter was healthy, the starter played again. And so, you know, generally I subscribe to the feeling that, or the philosophy that you can't lose your position to an injury unless the injury takes a considerable amount of time, and then the player that's filling in has to earn it as well over a course of time. So Josh is our starter. He'll remain our starter when healthy, and although I thought Matt did a great job, Josh will be the starter.
It's the fact that Josh has only started 5 games and it hasn't necessarily gone as well as you'd like it to go make it more challenging, or no?
It's, you know, when you look at young quarterbacks, there's not, you have to take it kind of with a grain of salt. I mean, there's a lot of young quarterbacks that have played this year, a handful of them, and there's going to be challenges. There's going to be bumps in the road, and it's all about Josh's development and Josh's experience. And, you know, we're confident that with more experience, the game will continue to slow down for Josh, and that's really where we were, you know, weeks ago in Houston. I thought he was playing his best game to that point, probably made his best throw of the season to Kelvin Benjamin, I believe it was, on that play, and then he got mm-hmm. the injury there. So, you know, it's important that he, when healthy, has the opportunity to continue to develop and grow.
I have to ask you, or give you a chance here to tell us if, like, there's going to be any roster movement here at quarterback. You've had four for the last 2 weeks. I would think that you would find that not ideal.
Yeah, Brandon and I are going to meet and have met already, and we're going to continue to meet tonight and all through the week and continue to evaluate our situation in terms of the roster, whether it's the quarterback position or other positions. As you saw, we made some moves with getting some young players, some significant playing time yesterday with Levi Wallace getting his first start, Wyatt Teller getting his first start. And so the amount of young players that are playing, we're going to continue to look at that and evaluate the best thing for our football team.
You started the season with just the two quarterbacks. Injuries have pushed you to have actually four here now, like Mike said. Would you be inclined to go back down to two, do you think? Or being that you've had such a scramble here for Derek Anderson, he comes in, he's got to play, then Matt Barkley, same thing. Might you be more inclined to increase the number to three from where you were at the beginning of the year?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of people out there that carry four. Right. So just being realistic in the stress and the strain that puts on other positions, as you look at the big picture, you always have to try and keep things as best you can in balance. But sometimes those opportunities aren't there when it comes to health of certain players and whatnot. So that's where, you know, we went into this game with a number of receivers that were active for the game, only two tight ends. And so we've got to try and rebalance the board a little bit as things settled down through the week here.
You mentioned a couple of young guys that played some roles there. Levi Wallace with a start, Robert Foster. Funny, they're both Alabama guys and both part of your street free agent class after the draft. Maybe especially Foster, because I'm not mistaken, Wallace has been here all through on the practice squad, whereas Foster was practice squad, roster, cut, brought back. Like, when that pathway presents itself for a player, like what goes into a decision to suddenly the guy was off your team and now he's catching the first pass of the game and goes over 100 yards in the game? Like, that just seems like it kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, sometimes there's various reasons and explanations for things. In this case, with respect to Robert, he had an opportunity early in the year. You know, we felt like we had to make some moves. We put him back down on practice squad, and he continued to grow and develop. Credit to him and credit to our coaches. And then we felt like it was an opportunity this past week to get Robert up and Levi, and we did that, and also gave. We felt like, you know, there was a need there to increase our overall team speed on offense, and so you also saw that a little bit with Isaiah McKenzie as well. So that showed up in the game, and I thought that opened up some things for us, not only in the passing game but the run game as well.
I'm all for it. The situation with Foster, I think it was after the Houston game maybe where he was released. When that happens, do you, if you can, want to give the guy like sort of a heads up as to what your plans might be? Maybe you have plans to get him back and maybe you want him in the area. I'm not sure if there are rules about like the facility or something. Like, there's probably a lot that we don't know.
Yeah, there are a lot of rules that govern what you can and can't do. But we were fortunate that that worked out, that when we did release him, he had to go through the waiver system and nobody claimed him. And so we were able to get him back on our practice squad and continue to work with Robert and invest in him. And then he invested in himself all the while. And we saw some of the fruits of the labor yesterday.
Another young guy, Teller, you mentioned, got the start at guard, and that's a player that was a draft pick but has been largely inactive. Is that a function of what your team's record is going into the game? Like, what have you seen from him that led to his finally getting on the field for you?
Well, it's a function of wanting to know a little bit more about one of our young players and also developing our roster. You know, Wyatt, the week before, took a series or two, I believe one series in the first half and one in the second of the Bears game, and we felt like he handled himself well. It wasn't all perfect, and neither was yesterday, but it gave us a chance to take a long look at him and for him to get those valuable reps, no different than what I was referring to with Josh Allen a few minutes ago.
So, Sean, will you take any time off this week?
I'll take some time off in the back end of the week and try and get a little bit of rest, spend some time with the family. But I'll be chomping at the bit to get back at it here and keep momentum going.
Yeah, maybe you hate bye weeks, or maybe you hate them after wins. I don't know.
Well, this late of a bye is a little bit unusual and unique. It's been a grind that we've been going through, and so it'll be good to get a little bit of rest and like I said, for the players to get away and spend some time with friends and family and kind of hit the reset button and come back rejuvenated and ready for the 6-game stretch.
Very good. Congratulations on yesterday. We'll talk in 2 weeks.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
There you go. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott, and his appearance with us today and every Buffalo Bills Football Monday is brought to you by Northwest. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. By Kaleida Health, we see more than patients, and by Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Well, I don't want to alarm anyone, but I agree with a lot of this. I mean, the idea that they should be shifting to more young guys and speed and these things like that. I think that's right. And they did that yesterday. I feel like I always expect the other argument from the Bills, which is we're still trying.
Right.
We want to try to win games and veterans and, you know, all these kind of things. But they have, like Sean, and they right now are what they showed yesterday. In a different frame of mind. And Barkley, as we talked about earlier today and yesterday, I think that's close. I think the game that he played, I wasn't ready like you were yesterday to assume that Josh Allen would go back in because of the same point.
Yep.
That, you know, you've got a team here and this was a big upgrade and are we sure we want to not do that again? I'm also not 100% that Barkley can't be a useful asset.
Yeah, I'm damn close to 100. Like I just, you know,
because why wouldn't he have already been one? Is the reason?
Yeah, I think, you know,
or from what you saw.
Yeah, he's had some stops and opportunities. You know, the 6 games with the Bears. I mean, that's not 20 games. It's not that there's a ton of a huge body of work there, but. I feel like if he were going to be somebody in the league, that would have presented itself by now. So I very much look at what he did yesterday as just, you know, it happens. You know, the right opponent, there's some good fortune there, and, you know, great. That's it. Like, I'm not opposed to him hanging around as some kind of backup for Josh Allen, but to me, I just don't expect Matt Barkley to ever be, like, any kind of an answer for us at quarterback.
I would hope that he hangs around. I think that's what should happen. And I don't know. I can probably sound very different about this on a given day. The league is so inefficient when it comes to this stuff. What Barkley never enjoyed in his career was the luxury of being somebody's high pick. Like, we talk about Allen. I certainly do. I think it's right that Allen has to play. Once you draft him this way,
yeah.
If you don't play him for however many games, 20 games or more, then you look like a fool. Like, you just, why would you, it's always the question, why would you do it then? You know rookies need the time to grow and everything. So what are you doing if you don't give him that time? It just looks like you're inept. So that's why in every example throughout the year, like, Allen is going back in. Should the Bills trade for Derek Carr? No, the Bills should not trade for Derek Carr. They just did this other thing. But the league makes a lot of bad decisions. You see guys, not just quarterbacks, maybe not even usually quarterbacks, but players that are just, somebody else doesn't have time for it. You know, the right guy didn't get hurt, or the scheme is wrong or something, and they go to another thing, and it works out. And Barkley was a decent prospect. And what I like about the Bears games 2 years ago is that there was production to go with. I mean, there were interceptions. Barkley ranks only behind Nathan Peterman
right.
in interception percentage among active players.
Right.
But
that's a part of my problem there.
Yeah. He threw for yards and touchdowns. Like, he had, I think it's three. I closed the page. I think he had three 300-yard games in those six starts. I mean, when is three Bills 300-yard games ago? Like, this guy did that in 6 weeks.
Holy moly, yeah. It's been a while.
Tyrod Taylor had one.
In overtime. Miami, right.
I mean, that even has an asterisk on it. You find the right. single one.
You're back to Fitz, yeah, I think, right?
You're probably back, or Kyle Orton.
Oh, right, of course.
He had a couple.
Right, right.
But still, like, I want to be open to Barkley. Now, I think, as we talked about this before, I think the overriding point is the point about Allen
right.
and the importance of playing him.
Which is kind of why, like, I can't even really get, like, none of that to me is objectionable, especially the part about the league, you know, making mistakes and circumstances that, you know, I mean, you just get careers that, that hinge on that opportunity. I mean, we talked about it even in the context of discussing Pominville's 1,000th game
right.
last week. It's like he's on waivers to go to Rochester, clears because no other team wants him, and the Sabres are able to get him called back up, and then he's in the lineup, and then now here we are, he's played 1,000 games. And like, maybe if he gets claimed by Calgary and like never really gets a chance to play on their power play or something, and like just the fit is wrong, maybe he's a career minor leaguer. You know, and that's not to be disrespectful to him. It's just there has to be a fit.
I think so, that's totally right, and that easily could have happened. It's a fine line.
Yeah, so I think like so Barkley, you know, maybe right. Like I'm listening to that, fine, but again, none of it's objectionable. How you put all that, but Allen's here. Like, so that's it, you know, like, I'm sorry. I know we really hit it off, but I'm married, you know, like this is how it is. This isn't happening. I've committed to this other thing. And so Barkley, maybe if the game had swayed me more, you know, if it's a stronger opponent that isn't about to get their coach fired and it's, you know, even more explosive. I mean, he completed 15 passes. I mean, he didn't need to complete more than that,
right.
really, but it's only...
It's not, another game, Bulldog, where it's only a half.
Right.
That matters.
So, it's just not impressive enough, and I've already got Allen here. I did this thing with Allen, and that takes precedence. So, I almost... I'm not even open to Barkley impressing me, really. I'm just, it's a dead idea to me. It never is getting off the ground because of Allen being here and probably being healthy enough to come back already. Like,
but,
that's it.
But I know you can recognize the flaw in that.
Sure.
I mean, I get it, of course, but I mean, he's got to stay on the team. And if there's another injury or something, maybe it would take that, but then he would be back in. I mean, he's got to stay on the team. Or was yesterday not even that good for you to say that?
Oh, no, he should absolutely. The way he performed, I mean, I don't know. He and Anderson, it might be close. Anderson was sloppy with the ball, but sorry. Maybe that's close, but Peterman, forget it. I mean, if they're going to keep three, Peterman's got to go.
I would be shocked if he were on the team for the next game.
I mean, he definitely, like, he played one game.
I guess I shouldn't say shocked.
And outranks him already. I mean, it's done to me.
Well, look, teams make decisions, and we want them to make them based only on merit. You know? Like, what is best for the team long term? What is best for the team right now? All that. It's always how they talk, and it's how you want it to be. But it really isn't like that. There are all kinds of politics. Coaches hire players. GMs hire players from organizations that they used to work for. And that doesn't mean you're the best. It might very well mean that you're not the best. You're the guy we know. We can do. You have such a time pressure in this job, coach and GM, especially on a team that's been a losing franchise. I mean, it's just, you've just got to get there quick or else you're out. And maybe this is also the Jason Pominville example. Sean McDermott had a very good reputation as a coach in the league. You get to be a head coach. It might be your one shot. Maybe Todd Bowles isn't a head coach anymore, ever.
Right.
Like, you have, and that's 4 years, right, for him, maybe even longer?
He took over for Rex, so this is year four, right? He took over 2 years. Rex was here. McDermott comes in. Okay. And now, so
his first year was the year where they came to Buffalo with a chance to make the playoffs. Right. The last game. That's right. Bowles and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think there are a lot of decisions that are made in this league for the wrong reasons. And here is Matt Barkley. Matt Barkley was not a high draft pick. So the Philadelphia Eagles, nobody with the Philadelphia Eagles felt any pressure to play him. Then, so he's dispensable. They make a coaching change and a management change. Good luck to anybody after that. The Bears had Jay Cutler as their quarterback 2 years ago, and Brian Hoyer, and it gets to Barkley, probably because of injury, and he puts numbers up, and then they, you know, they draft Mitchell Trubisky and sign Mike Glennon, and by Chicago, Barkley is used up by Philadelphia. Like, he was already used up when he went there. Very few players can survive this. Ryan Fitzpatrick is an example of a guy who did. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been on six or seven teams, most of them kind of bad franchises, bad teams. He's still going, and that's really amazing because he was a seventh-round pick. He was not a high pick either, and he's carved out this pretty amazing
career. He managed to be in the right spot a couple of different times and be at least capable enough. Right? He had a stretch of games that he started with the Bengals before he got here. And then
Rams.
The Rams to start out. But I think there were more games in Cincinnati than there were with the Rams.
Yep,
there was the debut was great with the Rams. And then here, and you just sort of go, you just keep rolling, you know? Like, he got the one big starter contract with the Bills and has just kind of continued to just be in a spot like, you know, I'm pretty good. I'm all right. And like it's hard. It's hard to make a living that way, I think, for most guys.
Fitzpatrick is, to me, like a guy that what he proved here was that he could give your team a chance. It wasn't a good chance. He's still never been to a playoff game, and he's probably not going this year. He can give you a chance. He can get you on TV, but you're probably not going to win. And I feel like this Barkley is probably that. He's probably at least that. Is he going to get enough chances? Is his story good enough? He didn't go to Harvard. I don't know. Like, this is right. Your story helps.
Is he married? Does he wear his wedding ring?
Right. Like, your story helps.
Grow a beard. Grow a big, long, crazy, bushy beard.
What should they do now? 803-0550. I think it's really interesting. It's going to be Allen when he's healthy, and maybe that's the next game. That's how it sounds. And I don't mind that, but I think it's interesting to talk about. I think it's, I guess, close for me. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Buffalo Bills Football Monday here on WGR.
He's a solid target. I think on those plays, my reads took me there. On other plays, I was going to other guys, but it's not like I was singling Zay out. He did a great job of getting open and finding the windows. He has a great feel, I think, for where to sit and where to run. But, yeah, he showed up today big time.
Barkley on Zay Jones, who, real quick on him, it was said yesterday, I think it's being said a lot maybe, you know, he's, for me, to put it one way, he's a name for the future now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It is not quite anymore, they have nothing there to want to bank, for me to want to bank on. But, and maybe this goes beyond Zay Jones with some of this youth, like Foster. I mean, how do we know? How would anybody know? Even the Bills, how would they know what those guys can't do if they're not playing and they're not getting the ball or the ball is way over their head? Like, there is reason. This is the mood I'm in right now. There is reason to give these guys a look, and I think the Bills are doing that.
Yeah.
And Jones is also somebody they've invested in. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's you go from, I think, you know, feeling like they've got to start completely over at the skill positions on offense to, okay, well, that guy's nice. He's not like someone I'm thinking about as a number one based off what he's doing, but he certainly starts for me and can play for me. And if I can plop someone in who's even better than him to run along with him, like, that's a nice piece to the puzzle. You know, if I have discovered that Zay Jones can actually be Robert Woods. Not that has to be his ceiling, but like, okay, I would gladly take him turning into Robert Woods. Like if that's who I've got out of him, like that's a second round pick, fine. That's, you know, I would never say I have nothing at receiver if I had Robert Woods on my team. So there's still a ways to go, I think, to really establish that, but it seems like it's really going in the right direction now. Mm-hmm. And that's that's definitely encouraging. You know, I'm just about done with Benjamin. I mean, I just don't have any. There's just nothing. There's nothing happening there. I would just as soon send him on his way. At this point, I'm just not a fan. I like that idea. I think even more than you did last year when they did it. You know, there were things to like about the move on the surface, regardless of what you thought of the player, that they were trying to do something to upgrade their wide receiving core with a team that looked like it could be in the playoff race, and it turns out they were. So, like, you like it even irrespective of what your opinion of the player. I think I at least liked him more than you did as a player. Watching him play in a Bills uniform has made me nuts. I just don't – there's just nothing there to me. I had people right away this year who were effort with him, and I didn't see it. I'm thinking about the first postgame show. People were on that, and I thought, like, I don't know. It's not something I walked away from the game thinking about, but then I looked a little bit more, and I just continue to see it. He's just not – I don't want to watch him play anymore. You know, like, if I were to get up tomorrow, despite their lack of weapons there, and find out that they – decided to cut Kelvin Benjamin, I'd be like, okay, good. He's definitely not on my team next year. And I'd just as soon play whoever else here. Go find another guy, like you just plucked this guy off of Denver's practice squad. Go get another one of them. Like, whatever. Just, you got any more guys on the practice squad like Foster was? Like, go get them and put them on the field.
I think I agree with this, too. I never have before. I never have thought, like, just cut Kelvin Benjamin, but... Now that I think there's some evidence that the Bills are going this way, I think you can say it. Who should be on the team? Now, unfortunately, you don't have the trade deadline anymore. Like, you
right.
can, maybe he wasn't tradable, but who should be on the team that isn't on the team? Who should be playing that isn't on the team next year? You know, with the arguable exception of guys that you think set, like, the perfect example, right? Like, Kyle Williams might be
right,
such
right.
a player. But... really, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do with these games. That's right. And maybe there are this. Why wouldn't there be? Why wouldn't there be practice squad receivers on lots of teams that maybe are close or have been close? I think what happens is there are players on practice squads who NFL teams hope to God they don't lose.
Mm-hmm.
But rosters are so compacted and they don't have an injury, so they don't have to call the player up yet. This is like what a baseball team would do. A baseball team would, you know, fire all their veterans or bench them or trade them, and they would go to the Bisons, they would go to the minors, they would call up these guys and check it out.
Yeah,
and so that's I'm all for it.
You know, on one hand, you know, I think I would want to respect the position the team could take, or a fan of Kelvin Benjamin, if I'm assuming there are some people out there who think he is of some value to the Bills. And maybe chiefly that's because, well, Josh Allen's going back in, and he's at least someone who's caught passes in the NFL. He's a proven commodity. And like, okay, you're going to tell me that. I'm going to nod at you. I'm going to go, okay, yeah, you know, you're right. I can't really argue with that. But I don't know. At this point, I'm willing to trust someone who's barely done the job, if at all, over him to make an effort to try to do their best for Josh Allen than Benjamin. I think Benjamin looks very much to me like someone who is just not all here. And like, maybe that's just because he's not fast. And so I'm judging him on his lack of foot speed, maybe harshly. But it just, there's nothing happening there that I like. And that's it. So, you know, I don't know. The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned with him.
Here's Dan with us. Hello, Dan.
How's it going tonight, guys?
Great, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, just a quick thing. I mean, they've got two quarterbacks. I mean, they could play this game, you know, as far as, well, is he healthy or is he not? But, I mean, we could, you know, it's in the pudding. I mean, if they start, you know, Matt, I mean, it's like, I think he's got a shot, but, you know, you always got to fall back, you know. Well, if he doesn't make it, well, then they can always train the new guy. You know what I'm saying?
Not really. Are you saying he should start?
Am I saying he should start? Yes, I think. Okay. I think he's earned the starting job from performance this week.
I thank you, Dan. I don't. Now I know what you're saying. I don't disrespect that. I don't think I would do it. But you know, when people call and they say once in a while, and these are like my favorite calls. Once in a while, I'd be like, yeah, here's the question: what would you do? Right? What would you do if you would you draft Josh Allen or would you do this? What do I always say back? Tell me what my job is.
Right, am I the owner? Am I the GM? Am I the coach?
Right. If I am Brandon Bean, I am riding it out with Josh Allen because I'm just a crazy person if I don't. I would be seen as a crazy person if I don't. What in the world would make me think it was a good idea to draft him and then not play him? What kind of – I'm incompetent if I do that. If I own the team, like, yeah. If I own the team, I mean, the owner also employs everybody, so the owner should have the final say and does, but – it's a very different question. If I'm on the team, like, all right, let me see it. You have to know how really, unfortunately, lousy NFL teams are at these kind of decisions. And there's a version of that that happens on fourth downs in the league. There's a version of that that happens in game probability. They're just not that good at it. These GMs and coaches do not have the luxury of the time to take so they can get away with, quote, failures and or experiments. They just, most of them don't. Maybe you win a Super Bowl and you can live like that. Mm-hmm. But most of these guys can't live like that. So they're going to go for right now. They're going to, you know, and I got to say too, I want to say, like, McDermott has talked all year this year almost like he thinks he's got that. Well, it's a long process, and you and I go,
right.
What are you talking about? Last year, you cut a bunch of guys. Like, you were pretty good last year, or your record was pretty good anyway. Why did it have to be? You don't get that amount of time. You know, he talks like he might think that he will. And in that case, I mean, that's just there's a different equation,
right?
In that case.
I think if you have that job, I think your mindset is that you're going to have the time, and mostly I think it's predicated on a vision of success, which is for the quarterback you've selected. Like, I don't know that the people who do those jobs wouldn't view the equation that spits out the answer. You probably get fired if you pick the wrong guy. You pay a lot to get him, and you probably don't make it out of there if you're wrong about him. Like, that might be maybe an undeniable truth within the business. Like, better pick the right quarterback. But the frame of mind about the player, like, Sean McDermott walks around every day, I'm sure of it, convinced that Josh Allen is going to be good.
I'm not sure of that.
They picked him, and that's how he's living his life. So I think he sounds like he thinks he's going to be here a long time because he thinks Josh Allen is going to be good.
Okay.
And otherwise, I think if you have that job and you aren't thinking that way, you're probably not going to try to see the thing with Allen through, and then you start scrambling, and then where are you? Because then you're the crazy person that isn't playing the guy you just drafted, and like, wow, that could get real messy real fast. So I think your frame of mind is just, he'll be good, therefore I'm all set here.
Interesting. I'm going to enjoy talking about that too. Bye week. So, you know, great. Think about the Jets. I mean, real quick. Another thing I always say is, like, when these quarterbacks get drafted, you got to change the coach at the same time, because if you cross that, you know, you do that, you hire one coach, and then the next year you draft the quarterback, and then the coach gets fired because the quarterback isn't ready, and you just become one of these organizations, or that's maybe why you do it, that's just spinning its wheels. Why wouldn't the Jets have made the coaching change when they drafted Darnold? Like, why wouldn't you do that? Change the GM too if you want to. Just like, it's not like only a few people could possibly do those jobs at the level of performance the Jets guys have been doing them.
Right.
Just do it. And then you don't have to get into year two of Sam Darnold. Uh-oh, we got to be a little bit careful here because we're not sure we have the right coach. Yes, the offensive coordinator did actually walk from Mexico to Canada, but I'm not sure this is all just perfect. So maybe we need to revisit. You're just the Jets. That's why you're the Jets.
Yes.
That's why you're the Bills. It's why you're the Browns. It's why you're these teams. You know, just line it up. The Bills with Marone and Manuel lined it up. And I like that a lot. I was all in on that idea. And Hackett, they lined that up. But the owner died. Or else maybe we're still hanging out in that world. Maybe not E.J. Manuel. How about E.J. Manuel getting loose on Peterman last week?
Right. Like,
I never threw four picks or whatever it was.
Right.
He's got a point.
Yes, he does.
Anyway, really, it's really fascinating. It's why it's so much fun to talk about all this. And you know, the Bills have an interesting thing right now. 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Want me to hum some Trans-Siberian Orchestra music for you, Joe? Are we okay in there? The thing wouldn't fire for him. We got a contest for you right now.
That.
Pair of tickets to Trans-Siberian Orchestra, The Ghost of Christmas Eve. Saturday, December 15th at 7:30 p.m. at KeyBank Center. Minimum value of this prize is $90, courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply. You may buy your own tickets at tickets.com.
More ghosts.
644-9878. Caller 5 takes the pair right now. I'm going to have those all week for you.
Oh.
So, I mean, you should always listen anyways.
Look at our nights this week.
Okay, let's do that.
Tonight, Giants at 49ers. Tomorrow, Sabres Lightning. Wednesday, Niagara Loyola Basketball. Loyola, Illinois, by the way. Not just Loyola. Loyola, Illinois, that's that lady.
What?
Sister Jean, right?
Oh.
Isn't that Loyola,
yeah,
Final
that,
Four?
Yeah, okay.
Thursday, Green Bay, Seattle.
Okay, I'm into that.
Friday, Sabres, Winnipeg.
And not to say, like, I'm not in denial.
Rank them.
Rank them. Oh, boy.
Rank them. Personal interest level in those five games that will be airing weeknights on WGR.
The Sabres games absolutely outrank everything on the board for me.
Who's one? Who's two?
Tampa, because Tampa is great, and they have 25 points. And it feels very much to me like if they have a good night against Tampa and win, that Wednesday we'll walk in here and be wanting to talk about them. Because that'll be like, hey, they just did you see that? They did that to them. Wow. That's not predicting that's going to happen. Tampa is elite. But if the Sabres run with them and beat them 4-2 or 5-3 or whatever, hey, I think maybe this is this is going really, really well. They would improve to, like, what, 10-6-2 if they did that? That'd be nice. So Tuesday is big to me. Tomorrow, Tampa.
Friday, too.
Yep. Sure, then, yeah, Winnipeg's a real classy team, and that's on the road.
Then you're going Green Bay, Seattle.
Yeah.
Then Giants.
No, I think Niagara basketball over this
you're
game.
You're putting Niagara basketball this game, over the Giants
this
game.
This game is dead to me. I'm not, I just don't, I don't know.
I'll put the Packer game first, the Giant game second, Sabres Lightning third. Sabres Jets, you know, no disrespect. Sabres Jets fourth, Niagara fifth. Like, it's early in the season. The UB thing is really cool, and maybe Niagara can be as cool. But for me, like, UB is right in my head. They're playing tonight. It's Southern Illinois. It's not on our list, but it's cool. And being ranked and winning at West Virginia, that game was hot. Very excited about that. And so here's to Niagara. Hopefully you have a good season. UB is off and running there, too, and I think it's all good. But I don't put it ahead of NFL or NHL games. I can't. I wouldn't.
Okay.
Even the Giants.
Yeah. Well, I hate the Giants.
Nick Mullins tonight.
Yeah.
I don't have any fantasy drama really anyway, and I would still say that.
I guess I do, but I just don't. I can't.
You
I
a little
just,
bit.
I just don't.
I killed it yesterday. There's nothing for me to do tonight.
Well, that's so sad. You've got all those teams. How could there be nothing to do
tonight? I don't need tonight.
Well. Nobody can catch you. You can't.
I've got one. I'll probably lose. One other one I lost. I've won all their other ones. So
nice attitude.
It's really not that close. I really don't have a close one tonight.
Go into the game expecting to lose. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm just being real. Why don't teams be like me? Because wouldn't that be refreshing? I have a point about
teams would wear orange pants and yellow shoes if they were like you.
They always expect to win every game. Doesn't anybody tell them that half the games are lost by somebody?
Orange pants and yellow shoes.
Not at the same time. Bulldog's wrong again. Wrong again.
Just exaggerating a little bit.
Josh Allen, Matt Barkley, and also a point on the Tampa Bay Lightning that applies also to Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers and their teams. I want to say something there. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is WGR.